The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports,
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 sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
It's opening day at Minute Maid Park as baseball and sports are officially back in Houston. It's a Friday on a late hits edition of The Blitz.
Shall we begin?
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying, yeah. Fun. Looking forward to the weekend.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Patrick Creighton, the Polar Bear, Jason Braddock, Chocolate Gladiator, Aaron Raybould, Voldemort.
Nice.
And of course, you can get in on the show, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN on the HRMP listener line, text line. You can watch the show, join in with us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Jason, sports to you.
Sports to you as well.
So the best thing about, well, actually the hardest thing about trying to act like Fred is for me to act like I'm sedated. Because I definitely take in way too much caffeine to...
Yeah, you're going to have to turn down whatever laptop or iPad or whatever's making noise. That's...
It's done.
That's Mr. Twitch over here.
I'm getting used to this.
Shame.
I usually go old school, just paper. But for the Twitch stream, I actually brought a tablet. Work with me. I'm over 40. But, everyone says... Technology-wise, I'm like 80.
The second you break the plane to the studio, phones are on silent, computers are on silent. Come on.
I don't use this tablet. I thought I had silent. I've silented it twice now, but I think I'm good.
By the way, you'll notice my phone is on silent as I'm watching Mets Braves. Because it's bad enough I can't be at the game tonight for opening day. I have to feed my baseball withdrawal some way or another. So, like I had said, I got MLB TV for free. I am going to milk the holy hell out of that thing this year.
Nice. Yeah. The thing that sucks is all the blackouts, though. You get to watch the Mets, all that. I was trying to watch the game last night on the way home.
National games are blacked out.
You're going to have them blacked out. Will the Astros play on there, though, even though they're not national because we're in the Houston market?
From what I read earlier today, and again, I read this, so I haven't actually tried it to know if it's going to work.
Sure.
Because the Astros are only on AT&T Sports Southwest, supposedly, I will be able to get the game on MLB TV, but I don't know if I'm going to wind up in that blackout zone. But there was a story up earlier that said it was available on AT&T Sportsnet and on MLB.TV.
Beautiful.
So we'll see how that actually rolls out. Astros lineup is out.
Oh, wow. And I've got you hooked on DraftKings, so I know this is tearing at you right now. You're ready for the first break so you can go make sure you don't have anybody in your lineup that's not playing.
Well, what bothered me, Jason's trying to make me a degenerate gambler, basically, is what this is.
Well, it's a perfect day to embrace that, being on...
We're on the right show.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Jason yesterday looped me into DraftKings, and I won a few bucks.
Now, you did good. What was your entry fee on that?
$10.
So, you tripled up.
Yeah, I won like $30. So... Of course, because I won, now it's like, oh, all right, fine, I'll do it again today. And as I'm going in and I'm looking for Astros, all the Astros are ridiculously highly priced. So, you had to go and find the bargains. But Astros lineup is up. Springer, Altuve, Bregman, Brantley, Yuli, Correa, Reddick, Diaz, Machete. So no surprises in the lineup. They've used this lineup a few times recently. Dusty seems to like Correa hitting behind Gurriel instead of in front of him. So this is the lineup, and this will probably be the lineup for at least a couple of weeks.
Run through it one more time for me.
How Dusty works. But this is Astros lineup is out. And the reason this matters is because today at Minute Maid Park, it's opening day for your reigning, defending, undisputed 2019 American League champion, Houston Astros. Oh, and some guy named Justin Verlander on the bump tonight.
It doesn't get better than this. I mean, you're fired up. Astros back. You have it on TV tonight. We're in for the blitz. Take you till 7 o'clock. Crystal, who chimed in on Twitch, you know, she was telling us yesterday how she forces all of her Lyft riders to listen to our show. So we greatly appreciate
that. Which I think is awesome.
But she did ask if we're on until 9 tonight. Do not try to kill us, Crystal. I actually, this is embarrassing, but I had to set an alarm clock to get here today.
I actually am happy we're not on till 9 because that would meant I would have missed the first hour of the game. So it's kind of cool that, you know, we're in for the blitz. Fred and AJ are taking a little vacacion and we're on till 7 and then I get to go home and get the game on.
Right.
So when I go home, grill is on, burgers and dogs are on because you can't not have burgers and dogs if there's a game on.
Yeah, and I typically we wouldn't mention this, but in the state of the in the state of sports where we are, where we've gone so long without, you've also got Rockets Raptors tonight. Now the season for the Rockets doesn't kick off till a week tonight. NBA kicks off in 6 days, but still to see James Harden, Russ Westbrook, and the Rockets back on the court a week before it kicks off. 2 hours before. So it almost lines up perfectly because I believe that Rockets Raptors 6 o'clock and those games will typically take you up to about 8 o'clock, maybe a little past. Then you've got your Astros at 8 o'clock. It's a great Friday.
And just because we've got the game on, Jeff McNeil looking to get into second base clearly beats the tag, but we've got umpire review. And how will that be? And he's safe. Yes, screw the Braves. And that is something I think Met fans and Astros fans can always agree on. And that is screw the Braves, and launch the Braves into the damn sun.
The Braves were actually my National League team growing up.
That's because you were in South Carolina.
Yeah, growing up in South Carolina, you watched the Braves all the time. But obviously my number one team was any team Canseco was on. So that lets you know how bad my judgment is, even at a young age.
Yeah, you just like guys who did drugs.
All right, so maybe my judgment wasn't that bad.
He did, he has had an interesting collection of attractive females.
Well, who was he with when he was going like 110 in his Ferrari with I think he had like some Uzis in the back or some different assault type guns. For some reason, I oddly remember every player in history that got arrested with guns in the car. You remember Maurice Clarett? Had all the Grey Goose in the car, all these different rifles were on the way to somebody's house that he had beef with before the cops stopped him.
I'm going to somebody's house that I have beef with. No, it's just, they're just weapons.
Yeah, it's just the Greg Hardy instance.
Not a big deal. I mean, weapons clearly are not as bad as if he had, like, gotten free tattoos or something, right?
Devere Posey, Terrell Pryor, who else was in that group? Ohio State, they got the free tattoos.
It was like the whole damn team.
Was it?
There were like 10 of them who got free tattoos.
Remember when people were...
And that got Jim Tressel essentially banned for life.
Do you remember how tight the Texans organization was with signing players with character issues? That it was a big deal when the Texans drafted Devere Posey because of the free tattoos. I'm like, come on. I mean, I understand the Texans used to operate on the strictest of moral codes, but when it was a big deal, they drafted Devere Posey because he got a free tattoo. I'm like, all right, I think we're okay with this guy. I don't think he's going to be a locker room cancer. Just couldn't play football. Well, in the CFL,
that was a problem, right?
Right.
Oh, you have to be able to play at the NFL level.
It's like, hey, we're going to take two wide receivers in this draft. And it's loaded with T.Y. Hilton and Alshon Jeffrey and Marvin Jones and Mohamed Sanu. Nope. We're going to take, give me Keyshawn Martin and Devere Posey.
Yeah, that was a giant failure.
Well, if the Texans don't take a wide
receiver. Can we not talk about Texans failures? It's opening freaking day.
Okay, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. I got into a wormhole.
It's opening day. Baseball is on, and you don't even want to talk about good football. You want to talk about craptastic football.
That is pretty fun to revisit, though, right?
Hey, remember when the Texans sucked super suck horribly?
Do I have to?
Yes! Thank God it's tequila day.
In the next segment, we'll be talking about the Jared Zabransky era of the Texans. Keep it locked right here on your home for Texans talk.
You're so fired. if you're going to do that, though, don't you need, like, your own Coleman Milk sponsorship?
I don't know. I know we're in for the blitz, but I'm not going to touch the Coleman Arkansas Milk. I'm going to leave that alone. I'll leave that for the true
milk
blitzers.
Drinkers.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yes, Canseco and Madonna were once
I remember that one. Well, Madonna went through. All right, so you have these. Is succubus the right word? You have these ladies that have some type of power. How do I state this?
Where they destroy your life?
In this region, they have some type of power where they become a curse on athletes
in
different sports.
What was this thing again?
It was they have some type of power around this region.
Around that region.
And it's on Twitch, so we're okay with doing that. But if you go back through the annals of sports history, there's always been one that just is the succubus that takes all the power and talent from these top athletes. Madonna was there in the 80s and 90s, and, well, I guess forever. You know, Barkley, Jose Canseco. Who am I? I remember as a kid watching David Letterman's top 10 on Jose Canseco's excuses of why Madonna was sneaking out of his hotel room. And it says, I think number one, it was not me, it was my twin brother, Ozzy. So that, you know, I still remember that.
Are any and all Kardashians considered succubuses?
Yeah. I mean, then after Madonna, you had Tyra Banks. I mean, not only did she end Chris Webber, Nick Van Exel, but she took Penny Hardaway at his prime, and Little Penny. How the hell are you? You know how magic the cookie has to be to kill Little Penny?
We need to drag you out of the wormhole again.
Okay.
Right after we tell you that Ben Simmons took 2 3-pointers
in
the first half. Now, they were up by 26.
Okay.
But he took two 3-pointers in the first half. It's opening day. And the Astros got some good news today as well. We'll get to it next.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Patrick Creighton, Jason Braddock in for Fred and A.J. And before we get back to the Astros, we'll get to your calls on the Astros. Pedro, you're on the Blitz. What's up, Pedro?
Hey, can you hear me, guys?
Sports to you.
Yeah. Hello?
Yes, you're on. We got you.
Hey, so I was just, man, I love y'all show in the evenings. Glad to hear y'all at an earlier time. But one of my biggest questions is, and I know once we get our cutie back, the rotation will look a little bit better. But what do you think of the possibilities then, maybe if the Reds get off to a really slow start, maybe getting Luis Castillo, seeing DeGrom today? Man, I mean, it'd be nice to have him. I know I'm wishing really high, but do you think the Astros have any minor leaguers they could probably flip into one of those guys? I'll hang up and listen.
I'm going to set this up for you because, to me, it looks like that it's going to be extremely difficult to make trades this year. When you're talking about a 60-game schedule, 16 teams making the playoffs, when are we going to start actually seeing teams eliminated from that playoff bubble?
The Orioles?
The
Pirates.
There's really not going to – and I don't recall. Maybe you remember. Do you know what the new trade deadline is?
August 31st.
All right, so August 31st. So you're talking about halfway through. So you've got 60 days. Basically, at the halfway point, 30 days in, you have your trade deadline. So how many teams 30 games in are going to be ready to sell? Especially when 16 teams, over half the league, is making the playoffs. I don't know we see that much movement this year.
No, and if you consider how much money the Reds spent in the offseason, the moves that they made in the offseason, the Reds aren't going to bail out on everything 30 days into the most abbreviated season
right.
in the history of baseball. So, I mean, yes, they have Luis Castillo. They also have Sonny Gray, Trevor Bauer, Wade Miley, Anthony DeSclafani. You know, their rotation's not bad. Raisel Iglesias is still their closer, and he's pretty good. You know, they brought in Mike Moustakas. You know, they're not going to, all right, we're just going to dump out because we're not. It's not that kind of season. The teams that are not going to be in it, you know, the Marlins, the Orioles, the Tigers, the Pirates. Maybe a Matt Boyd is available but again, we've seen this from the Tigers before. I don't think Boyd is a great pitcher. I think he's a good pitcher. He misses bats, but he gives up a lot of hits. He walks a lot of guys. I don't see a team trading a big-time influential arm unless they're getting the biggest haul ever, because it's a shortened season. Everybody's going to think they're in it. And then in the off season, you would likely get more. So I don't think we're going to see big name arms moved. If we do, somebody would have to get off to like a 7-23 start. I mean,
yeah,
it has to be way out of it.
That's what I'm saying. Before the trade deadline, August 31st, it's going to be hard to start seeing a lot of movements. If you want to interact with the show, yes, Late Hits, Patrick Creighton, Jason Braddock, in for Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman here on The Blitz today. Also Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday as well. You can call the show or text the show at 713-780-ESPN. That's 713-780-3776. On Twitter, at PCreighton1, at Aaron is Blitz, and at Late Hitters as well. Also, the Twitch stream, you can talk to us during the break, during the show, live. It's twitch.tv/ESPN975.
Now, if you ask me, who do the Astros have in their minor league system to go get somebody?
Mm-hmm.
If they wanted to get an impact arm, you better hope that they like Forrest Whitley. I would have traded Forrest Whitley a year ago.
Yeah, I know we've had this conversation. There's still nothing.
If I could trade Forrest Whitley and somebody valued him the way they did before he got Steve Blass syndrome, mm-hmm. Sold.
Give me these percentages. All right, so it's not what are the odds Wednesday, but let's go ahead and steal from the Blitz that on a Friday here. And tell me what percentages when Jeff Luno was the GM of Forrest Whitley getting traded, and now with Click here, the opportunity or the chances of Forrest Whitley actually getting traded.
All right, before he got Steve Blass syndrome, 0.-500%.
Right.
Once he got Steve Blass syndrome, 10% with Luno, maybe 35% with Click. They're a win-now team. And if you're a win-now team, it's not, well, you know, we got to stockpile our farm. No, you're utilizing that farm to go get the players you need to win. Now, I wouldn't give up Forrest Whitley. I'm not going to sell super cheap.
Sure.
Where, I'm going to sell him for 30 cents on the dollar. But if I can find another team that is high on him because he's got electric stuff.
Sure, but it hasn't been put out there.
Who knows where he's going with it, but he's got electric stuff.
Well, let me ask you this. What are the chances, though, that you're – I mean, if you trade Forrest Whitley now, as much as you're down on him, you would have to think other teams are. Are you getting anything else? Maybe not 30 cents on the dollar, but are you getting any more than 60 cents on the dollar?
Different teams will value guys in different ways. And he was a first-round pick. You know how in baseball when you do scouting, they scout on a scale of 20 to 80 with 50 being considered league average.
Right.
Okay. His fastball grades as a 70. And then he throws a slider curve, which are both a 60, and a changeup that's a 65. He has four plus one top, one elite pitch.
Does it show his control rating, though, 20 to 80 since he
50.
All right.
And, you know, again, before he melted down last year, things looked like they were going in the right direction. He's 6'7", and depending on the year, between 230 and 245. But he's 6'7", he throws super gas, and he's only 22 years old. There are going to be teams who are going to look at him and say, hey, you know what, this guy was a top 20 overall prospect. We think we could get him right. To be able to get that guy with that stuff, we can put him in a package. And there will be teams. Everybody values people differently. There'll be teams who look at him and think he's gold. You got to find who that team is. And then does that team have what you want and or need?
Well, you have your Astros World Series hat on. So let's assume that's you putting on your GM hat. What are you selling Forrest Whitley for right now? In this season, if somebody came to you with an offer, you got the McCullers issues where you're wondering, can he stay healthy even in a shortened season?
I'm actually not worried about McCullers' health.
Urquidy just came back today and not back with the team at their second destination where him and Yordan Alvarez come back and they're able to start getting back into baseball shape, baseball form. But that was supposed to be your fourth starter, if we're being honest. And then you get to that fifth starter. Is it Whitley? Is it Josh James? Is it dot, dot, dot?
If I'm James Click, I'm not worried about my fifth starter.
That's fair.
Because when I get to the postseason and I expect to be in the postseason, I'm not starting five pitchers. I'm starting four. So my goal is, what do I have? I've got Verlander, Greinke, and McCullers. I know I've got those three. Urquidy is going to have – he's not back on the field yet,
no.
But he's going to be – he, Alvarez, and the other three guys who are all on IL, they're now heading down to Corpus, which is one of the Astros' alternate training facilities. They're going down to Corpus. They're going to get on the field. It will probably, assuming everything, no hiccups, etc., take Alvarez 2 weeks to get ready. It'll probably take Urquidy between 3 and 4 weeks to get ready, depending on how long they want to get him stretched out before they bring him up to the main club. What Urquidy is able to do probably determines how hard I'm going after a starting pitcher.
Let's go. Let me play devil's advocate before we hit this break. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in on the phone line or text line. McCullers stays the track record and gets injured at some point, right? Let's just say that happens. How comfortable are you now?
Why are you trying to pee all over opening day, Jason?
I'm not.
First, you want to give me crappy football. Now you want to hurt one of my pitchers. You're a bad person.
You are a bad person. When you're a championship caliber team and the Astros have the third best odds to win the championship this year, when you're a championship caliber team, especially when you're on this unapologetic tour, like middle fingers in the sky, Astros coming
bad
for you.
Bad person.
When you're on this unapologetic tour, you don't want to have anything to sideline you. So if you're a championship, you have to have insurance. If McCullers goes down.
We don't have enough time for this in this segment.
How comfortable are you with Urquidy as the three if McCullers goes down?
We don't have enough time for this in this segment.
All right.
We have to carry it to the next segment because you're a bad person asking evil questions. Mm. We'll ask Richard Justice.
There you go.
Who's going to join us next?
ESPN 97.5. Who knew you'd be hated for being who you are? And be a big target for all the insecure.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios,
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Patrick and Jason in for Fred and A.J. on the Blitz, joined right now by Richard Justice, MLB.com. Hey, Richard, how you doing?
How you doing, Patrick?
I'm doing all right, brother. So, you know, opening night at the Juice Box. First time since I've been down here that I'm not there for it, so I'm a little upset about that.
Me too.
I still love the lineup, front of the rotation. Some questions about the bullpen and the back of the rotation. They got some good news today with Alvarez and Urquidy getting cleared to join and start doing workouts and stuff. What is your estimation, expectation, how long it'll take for Alvarez and Urquidy to get ready, assuming they don't hit any hiccups?
Yeah, in the case of Alvarez, not long. Probably, you know, I mean, these guys, hitters will tell you they don't need many at-bats to get going. It depends on where he is in terms of physical strength and stamina and all that, but it won't be long for him. On the other hand, you know, it seems like Kyle Tucker's been around forever. He's 23 years old. He's going to get a lot of at-bats. I haven't checked the lineup to see if he's in there tonight. I assume he is. So this is what's going to happen. Rosters have to evolve. And one of the things I like what General Manager James Click said, in putting all these guys, four guys that have never pitched in the big leagues, in the bullpen, and just said, hey, we don't trust their experience, but we trust their talent. And that's what you have to do. You have to – that's the difference in baseball the last 10 years. The path to the big leagues has changed in that if you've got the talent, we're going to bring you up and we're going to trust our staff to nurture you and put you in position to succeed. And so it's a great opportunity for guys like Blake Taylor and Paredes and these guys. And who knows what you have? They have big arms. So my question is just what you do. They have to go out and get another starter. Do they have to try to get Mike Minor or Garrett Richards or Robbie Ray, something like that? I'll tell you this, though. They are going to be probably the most aggressive team at the trade deadline for obvious reasons. The owner, Jim Crane, badly wants to get back to the World Series and sort of, if you can erase the stigma, whatever stigma there is, if you can erase that stigma, the way you do it is by winning again.
Oh, listen, I think everybody here in the city of Houston would love to put up double rods to the rest of the universe as the Astros, you know, march their way back to another World Series. That would be glorious. As you talk about, you know, some of the issues they have in the bullpen, Ryan Pressly's had a blister, and Osuna hadn't thrown off the mound for a while. Joe Smith opts out. They didn't replace Will Harris. Brad Peacock is dealing with an injury. You know, and you mentioned Taylor and Paredes, and they're going to have guys like Christian Javier and Brandon Bailey.
Right.
There's a lot of guys in that pen who most fans don't know much about. At the same time, you look at like the first three starters, and you kind of expect, hey, those three guys are going to pitch really well. Is it a matter of they don't think they're going to need the underbelly of the bullpen all that much, that they're willing to ride with these guys who are young but they think they've got good stuff?
It's a matter of you can't keep everybody. You have to turn your roster over. And they trust – I mean, down the stretch last year, going into the postseason, they trusted Josh James about as much as anybody on the staff. Now, you know, what's the command going to be? Is he going to figure it out? When is Forrest Whitley going to figure it out? He had a 12 ERA in AAA. I've heard about Christian Javier from Jeff Luhnow forever. You know, you play that game. Give me one name I should keep an eye on. He would always mention Christian Javier for a couple of instances when the guy was in A-ball, which was probably last year. I don't know. But that's what you have to do. You have to give guys a chance. You can't – I mean, they've got 30-plus million in their number one starter, 30-plus million in their number two starter, and they have – Lance McCullers, who looks completely dominant right now. So they're going to score enough runs. The front three in the rotation is built for October, if they can get them all there in good health. And there's some questions about the rest of the team. But I'll tell you this, when you look at their team, remove the Dodgers from the equation. You know, you could make a case that the Astros are the second-best team in baseball. Tampa Bay is really good. The Yankees are really good. But the Astros have a chance. And in this era, you have to trust your player development. Look at what Tampa does. They turn the roster over every year. They're unafraid to do it. but you have to make good evaluations.
Let me ask you, Richard, when you talk about that the Astros want to go out there, and this is Jason Braddock here from sitting in for the Blitz. I want to know, when you talk about the Astros going out there for 2020 and trying to quiet all the noise from the 2017 World Series, the cheating scandal and everything else, this is something we talked about in the past. Why didn't the 2019 World Series, yes, they lost in the seventh game and couldn't win a game at home, but why didn't that 2019 World Series silence some of that, that, hey, yeah, they did cheat, win the World Series in 2017, but when baseball said that Astros weren't cheating in 2018 and 19, they still go back to the World Series and drop that Game 7 here in Houston?
Because you don't trust them.
Okay.
Because what they did in 17 was so egregious and so over the top. I mean, look, the Yankees and Red Sox were stealing signs too, but
right.
They were doing it in the traditional way. They were what they were doing. They shouldn't have been using the monitor behind home plate, but they were just telling the guy at second base, look and see if the sequencing is the same. Teams are going to be doing that every game this year, but they better not be using that TV monitor. They can use the one back in the dugout. It's just a different way of doing things. Everybody's trying to steal signs. What the Astros did was so over the top and so in your face. And it was basically saying, we're smarter than you. The rules that you play by, we don't have to abide by those rules. And so whatever they do in 20 and beyond, it's not ever, the stain of 17 is not ever going to completely go away. I mean, there's too much audio proof of in spring training, I visited with a catcher named Kevin Smith, who he was the guy behind the plate when Danny Farquhar stepped off the mound and looked in the Astros dugout and goes, hey, I can hear that, okay? I can hear that banging. And Kevin Smith goes, well, I guess in the biggest scandal in baseball history, I have a little bit of a side, a little bit of an asterisk. I was close enough to hear some of it too. You're not going to get past that, but what you do is you keep winning. And eventually, as with the Patriots, people forget that. Or someone.
Richard Justice, MLB.com, with us on the HRMP listener line. Richard, you had mentioned earlier the Astros will be very aggressive at the deadline. And with 16 teams going to the postseason, damn near everybody's going to think they're in it. I think it's going to be very tough to find an impact arm at the deadline. That being said, if the opportunity is there, Jeff Luhnow had kind of like his own policy where the guys he thought were his top blue chip guys were off limits no matter what. Forrest Whitley was once that guy. Is he still that guy, or would Forrest Whitley be available?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I think he won a lot of people over with this summer camp. He looked like he came to regular spring training not ready to go. But, he's gone through a lot the last couple of years. His confidence has been shaken. You always learn about a guy when he has some failure for the first, or some, some struggles for the first time. And I think if he has Brett Strom right now, I think he would tell you, Forrest Whitley's going to be a big star. And as much as he loves Javier and he thinks Josh James has a chance, I think they look, when I look at Forrest Whitley, I see Tyler Glasnow of the Rays.
Wow.
Who is a big-time pitcher, and he's got that presence about him. He's just got to go do it now. He's got to get better command of the strike zone, and it just seemed like in the time off, something clicked either physically or mentally with him, and maybe both, and he looked ready to go. And in fact, I thought he might make the team, but they need him to go and just keep going and pitching and prove to them, prove that he deserves a shot. He's a big-time talent. Do I think he would be available? I think if they thought they had a chance to win a World Series, Jeff Luhnow and Jim Crane had an interesting relationship. Jim had to push him sometimes. He had to push him on the Verlander trade. Andrew Friedman in L.A. is the same way. Like, his philosophy is, I'm not giving up these top prospects. I'm not giving up Gavin Lux and Cody Bellinger. And it's worked out pretty well. So, yeah, there's always a push and pull. But I think what Jim sees is we have to do everything we can to win a World Series. And if I am not going to let Forrest Whitley stand between us and say, Robbie Ray, or if Garrett Richards is pitching at the top of his game, or Mike Minor, or somebody like that, you got to go for it, because you don't have, because your window's closing. You know, all the outfielders are free agents, and you just don't know year to year now as the roster starts to transition what you're going to look like year to year.
We have Richard Justice on with us. Richard, before we let you go, Dodgers and Yankees, we saw their lineups go out there yesterday. Bats get going. Obviously, rain out prevents the scoring there for even more Yankees runs. But as you look at this Astros lineup, are you expecting more of the same, these elite lineups, especially right out the gate, to put up pretty big numbers hitting and get the quicker start out the gate over the pitching?
Yeah, you know, as good as the Twins and Yankees are, I don't think anybody's better than the Astros. I mean, Alvarez is a big part of that, and he needs to come back and play, but I don't think there's any offense better than him. And look, the Dodgers are one of the best teams I've seen in recent years. Even you take David Price out of it, you saw who they inserted in there in place of Clayton Kershaw last night, a kid that throws 100 with a 92-mile-hour cutter. They're loaded. They are loaded. And but the Astros, I mean, you know, it's easy for us in Houston to say, we don't have this, we don't have this. But their strengths, the Astros' strengths far outweigh the weaknesses. And, you know, you just need some young guys to play well. I would say the one thing that Jeff Luhnow didn't do is the player development. I would say could be better. What Jeff would say is, look at the amount of talent we traded to get veterans to get us to the World Series twice, and that's a valid point.
Richard, looking at the deal that Mookie Betts just got, you know, huge record deal, not that I'm expecting a record deal, but when you see a guy comes off the market, do you think the Astros get a deal done with George Springer before he hits free agency?
I do, and I think the model would be somebody like Paul Goldschmidt. I think that's about 5 years, 150. Something like that. I think Jim Crane looks at George Springer the way probably you and I do. This guy's the heart and soul of the franchise. And as important as Bregman and Altuve and Verlander are, nobody's more important to what they've done than George Springer. He is the emotional leader of the team. He's the leader in that room. He's the loud voice. There's only two players I've known in my time cover ball that the manager asked them when they're on the disabled list, come put on your uniform, come in the dugout, and do the things you always do. That's what you mean to us. Scott Rowland would be the other. And that's who George Springer is, and I just can't comprehend him playing in another uniform, and I'll bet you Jim Crane feels the same way.
Richard, I got to tell you, for 2020, as good of a year as you could have, it to me at least, it feels like Carlos Correa has had that. When he's needed to speak out, I think he's been poignant. He said the right thing. He's done the right things. I just have this feeling, and you tell me, am I buying fool's gold? I think we see a great year, as great of a year you can't have in 60 games for Carlos Correa.
Yeah, I agree with you, and all he needs to do is stay healthy. I mean, we're not going to know probably how much his back was bothering him the last couple of years and other things. He just needs to stay healthy. This guy's going to be one of the 10 best players in the game. And the left side of that infield with Bregman and Correa, you know, as good as, say, Oakland is on the left side of the infield, San Diego is, I would not trade any of those guys for the two guys we have in Houston.
Richard Justice, MLB.com, with us on the HRMP hotline. Follow him on Twitter, at Richard Justice. Richard, appreciate your time, brother. Always great to talk with you. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me, Patrick.
All right, Richard Justice, MLB.com, with us on the HRMP listener line. And, you know, a couple of things that he mentioned there about the bullpen, similar to what we've been talking about, and the idea of, you know, what he'd been hearing from management about Forrest Whitley over the last couple of months. Certainly encouraging.
Absolutely.
So we'll get more into the Astros and an interesting reason given by a player what could sabotage the MLB season. Next.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Patrick Creighton, Jason Braddock in for the vacationing Fred and A.J. I don't know what they're doing, but A.J. posted today that he is over gout.
So
apparently A.J. had gout.
Yeah, no, he was talking about it on the show the other day, but I think some doctors called in with some saying to take a cherry elixir or something. I caught part of it.
Yeah, black cherry juice is supposed to help, and it's supposed to help flush out your system. When you have gout, it's because there's too much red meat and too much alcohol in your diet, basically, which is all of AJ's diet. So when that happens, you need to hydrate with water and then mix in some like black cherry juice. And it helps kind of flush out your whole body and get rid of whatever it is that builds up on your toe that makes it hurt and swell and stuff. So apparently he is on the mend and on his way to vacation now.
Yeah, my father once described gout as stepping on glass every time you put your foot down.
Only thing I knew about gout, again, was just the King of the Hill episode when Bobby found some restaurant that had some... What was it? Did you
ever... It was a New York deli.
New York deli.
It was a New York deli in the mall, and he was eating liver.
Yes, that
and
was it.
Like all these like really rich, like basically like a like traditional like Jewish deli staple foods and stuff like that. And
didn't he get like a little rascal? He's like pulled the Matt Schaub. He had his foot in the cask and he's driving around, but he was still eating the food.
Yeah, and the school nurse got him a rascal to ride around in to make it easier.
Nice.
And he's still eating it while in the rascal.
You know, Bobby Hill, if he was an actual person, when he grew up, he was, you know, he I bet you he's at Walmart every day.
That's just, in the rascal.
Yeah, in the rascal at Walmart every day. That's who Bobby Hill, if he was a real person, would grow up into.
Going over to the deli section, nice. Having to make sandwiches. Sadly, I know people like that. When I was growing up in New York, we didn't have Walmart. We didn't even get our first Kmart till I think I start in college.
What year?
So 91.
Your first Kmart?
That was our first Kmart.
Wasn't Kmart going out of business by the late 90s?
Yeah. And they put a Walmart in. It wasn't even a big Walmart. They put a Walmart in. Like 3 miles up the road from Kmart a decade later.
Right.
And a year later, Kmart was closed. Just like that.
Yeah. I mean, are any Kmart still open?
I think there are very few. I don't know if they've all been rebranded as Sears yet, but there's very few Sears left.
See, I was shocked when Toys Us went out of business, but then I heard they have like a pop-up or something in the Galleria Mall right here.
They're back as an online store, and then they're doing like some of those pop-up things. But for the most part, they're back online.
Probably, I mean, Toys Us, though, man, their markup on their prices, I mean, was just so high. So, I mean, I can't say I was shocked by them going out of business, but kind of came out of nowhere.
Walmart, Amazon, they put everybody out of business. Which is funny because now where do I do probably half my shopping? Amazon.
Online?
Oh, yeah.
I'm too impatient.
Dude, there's boxes coming to the house every freaking day.
Oh, so you're rich too then?
I'm not a rich. I'm balling on a budget.
No.
I buy everything on sale.
You fit in on this show because everybody associated with the Blitz is rich, even Aaron. I think when they sign that contract.
Flash sales.
You got to match it in
where
a Bentley.
For like the next 6 hours. It's 87% off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how I do. That's how I do online shopping. Oh, it's 87. Dude, I don't pay full price for anything. As much as I can get away with it, I don't pay full price. Most of the pop guys that I bought were on sale, except the Comic-Con ones. But everything else was either on sale, it was 20% off, or it was BOGO, or you know, always a sale. Mm. They got another BOGO sale going on today, by the way, GameStop.
At GameStop,
yep.
Buy one, get one on what?
Anybody, on and all the pops who are $9 or less,
oh, okay.
Or buy one, get one.
That's because they want to get you in the store that's spend on those $15 Funkos. Well, they know you're going to buy those $15 Comic-Con ones or that $50 10-inch thing Comic-Con one.
Which I did buy.
Yeah, see, they got you.
I bought a couple of the ones that were 2019 editions because they still had them. I was like, oh, wow, they still have this. So I bought it. And then I got a bunch of, like, buy one, get ones. I got a lot of Star Wars and Game of Thrones.
All right. Those Game of Thrones haven't been priced as much. Like, there was this Game of Thrones Funko I got out of the Deerbrook Mall, and it's got the, oh, my God, what's old boy's name?
There's a lot of boys.
No, dude that Arya stabbed at the end, Ice Dude.
Oh, the Ice King.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know why that slipped my mind. Anyway, they got a Funko where he's all glass and has that knife just sticking out of him right there. And it's not worth anything, but it's just, man, one of my favorite.
Cool.
Yeah, it's just awesome because my favorite character on Game of Thrones was Arya. I mean, she was badass.
Arya is really, my favorite character is Tyrion Lannister. But Arya is one of the best characters. She's one of the best characters on the show. And her whole thing, the revenge for the Red Wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that was an awesome, awesome episode where she basically, you know, kills all of them.
Yeah. What was the dude's name that trained Arya? I always forgot his name because he was a badass character as well.
Yeah, he's the many-faced dude. God.
Yeah, the many-faced God. Many-faced
God.
They started working on the prequel, right? Aaron, didn't I see you put something out that they started working on the Lord of the Rings prequel?
Well, it's not Lord of the Rings.
Why did I say Lord of the Rings? Game of Thrones prequel.
Yeah, HBO is now casting for the Game of Thrones prequel, which I think focuses on the Targaryen family and
how totally they came to power.
So this tells us a little bit about also, so it's just strictly the
It's strictly, but I think the focus, because I haven't seen the show, but as the focus of the new series is
strictly on the Targaryen.
Is a giant war that they were involved in that led to them taking over and being in power.
Because I know they had talked about having Ned Stark when he was younger as well and going to the story with his
sister.
They want
to do like six different series that explain all the different factions and everything like that, and that's going to be overkill.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
There's no such thing.
Well, this
just like there's no such thing of overkill in Star Wars.
See, that's what I'm saying. This is coming from a Star Wars guy, the king of overkill. All right, let's do prequels. Let's do three after it. Let's make up some cartoons. Let's put in a what's his name?
Jar Jar Binks.
Jar Jar Binks. Yeah, I mean, come on. You're the king of
overkill
with Star Wars.
What do you think the Ewoks were?
Ewoks
were. You were just little.
No, Ewoks reminded me of Gizmo, so I was good with them.
You know, everyone's like, oh, the Ewoks are so cool. Oh, Jar Jar Binks is a jerk. Well, he's meant for the little kids, just like Ewoks were.
He's a Jar Jar Binks.
You know, I mean, that's horrible. That's what... That whole thing is designed for. It's designed for kids. It's okay to have, you know, things designed for kids. There's nothing wrong with that. All right, let's, before we hit the break, got to tell you about our friends over at MyBookie because sports are back. Sports betting is back. It's just another thing Jason's going to get me to spend money on, which I'll probably do because, like I said, they had MLB futures. And you could go on there and look at the odds to win the World Series this year. And you know what? The Astros are plus 1,200. Those are the third best odds. They are projected to have the second most wins in the entire league this year, meaning only the Dodgers are projected to have more wins than the Astros. The Dodgers are plus 375. Astros are plus 1,200. That seems like a pretty good buy. I dropped a couple of bucks on the Astros at 1,200. There's lots of different bets they have. You can bet on every game, every sport, every time. Most importantly, you bet, you win, you get paid. And right now, you join MyBookie. They will double your initial deposit. So you put in 100, they give you 100 bucks. You put in 200, they give you a free 200 bucks. All you got to do when you sign up, use promo code RADIO, RADIO. Use promo code RADIO when you sign up. Get the double your deposit bonus. Bet, win, get paid. MyBookie.ag. This ain't no good talk, this a clock. My God told me to promise you gonna squeeze me.
To the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.